This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, a roundup of some stories from the 2011 National Astronomy Meeting, held in the town of Llandudno in North Wales during April, where almost 500 astronomers from around the UK came together for a week to present and discuss the latest results. Of all the planets so far discovered orbiting other stars, most are large gas giants orbiting close to their hosts, since these are the easiest to detect with current observational techniques. But the team at the University of Leicester have found a way of potentially spotting planets orbiting at far larger distances from their parent stars. Gas giants in our own solar system orbit further from the Sun than rocky planets like the Earth. While such planets have big surface areas and reflect large amounts of sunlight, making them bright in the visual part of the spectrum, they also emit strongly at radio wavelengths. Both Jupiter and Saturn have been detected by radio telescopes. Each planet hosts many moons, some of which are volcanically active, such as Io orbiting Jupiter and Saturn's moon Enceladus. Ionized gas escaping from these active moons is drawn towards the parent planets and produces aurora, much like that seen on the Earth at high latitudes. These aurora emit radio waves which can be detected here on Earth. At the National Astronomy Meeting, Dr. Jonathan Nichols from the University of Leicester presented the results of a study which predicts that radio emission from similar auroral activity on extrasolar planets should be detectable by low-frequency radio telescopes such as LOFAR, currently under construction in the Netherlands and due to be completed later this year. Nichols predicts that the technique could detect Jupiter-like planets orbiting a parent star at up to 50 times the distance between the Earth and the Sun, for stars up to 150 light-years from the Earth, and may help find solar systems which resemble our own. While Pluto may now be classified as a dwarf planet, it is still massive enough to have an atmosphere. Although less dense than the Earth's, Pluto's atmosphere was already known to be 100 kilometres thick, but new results from a team led by Dr. Jane Greaves at the University of St Andrews in Scotland have not only discovered carbon monoxide for the first time, but have also found that the atmosphere stretches as high as 3,000 kilometres, a quarter of the way out to Pluto's largest moon, Charon. At such large distances from Pluto, the outer layers of the atmosphere are easily stripped away by the solar wind. Located in the far reaches of the solar system, Pluto's atmosphere is very cold, about minus 220 degrees centigrade, and much of the dwarf planet's surface is covered in ice, essentially frozen out from what atmosphere there is. The signal of carbon monoxide has been searched for before, but this is the first time it has been detected. These new results, from observations made with the 15-metre James Clerk Maxwell Telescope in Hawaii, show the signal due to carbon monoxide gas is twice as strong as the previous upper limit obtained by another team using the 30-metre IRAM telescope 11 years ago. The only other gas to have been identified in Pluto's atmosphere is methane, which has also been seen to vary over timescales of several years. The changes seen in the carbon monoxide signal may be because the atmosphere has grown, or there may have been an increase in the amount of CO in the atmosphere due to an increase in temperature as Pluto made a close approach to the Sun in 1989. Science fiction stories are often set on planets with twin suns, but how might this kind of environment affect life on such a planet? A UK-based team, including PhD student Jack O'Malley-James from the University of St Andrews, have studied what plants might look like on an Earth-like planet with two or three suns. The temperature of a star determines its colour, and therefore the light available for photosynthesis. But in a binary star system, the two stars may well have different temperatures, and hence colours. Small, dim red dwarf stars are the most common type of star in our galaxy, and are often found in binary or multiple systems with other red dwarfs, or with stars more like our Sun. The team looked at what kind of plants might evolve on planets in a variety of binary or triple star systems, and found that plants in a system containing a red dwarf star may appear black to our eyes, absorbing across the entire visible wavelength range in order to use as much of the available light as possible. And finally, high school students have been helping uncover the peculiar behaviour of a rare type of X-ray binary system. A team of astronomers based in Wales and the Netherlands have used 8 telescopes simultaneously to study an X-ray binary known as IGR J00291+5934, a system containing an ordinary star and a pulsar, a neutron star spinning several hundred times a second. Only 12 examples of such a binary system are currently known. While they are often observed to go through outbursts where they increase dramatically in brightness both optically and in the X-ray part of the spectrum for between a month and a few years, this particular binary has displayed a more unusual type of outburst. Having been in outburst for 20 days, 00291 faded back to its original brightness, before rebrightening again within a month. As well as using space-based X-ray telescopes and large optical telescopes, the team had the help of several school groups who made observations of the system using the Fox telescopes, a pair of 2-meter optical telescopes set up for use by school groups. In X-ray binary systems, material from the star spirals in towards the pulsar, forming an accretion disk. Friction and gravity heat this material until it reaches temperatures of millions of degrees and emits X-rays. Outbursts are thought to be driven by the emptying of the accretion disk, so the time between outbursts indicates the time it takes to fill the disk and the size of the disk itself. But for a system the size of 00291, it is unlikely that the disk could be refilled in as little as 30 days. The suggestion is that the outburst is all one event that was interrupted halfway through by a propeller effect, ejecting material from the system and stopping the outburst. Once the propeller switches off, material begins to fall inwards again, and the outburst continues. These results are part of a larger project involving optical monitoring of 32 low-mass X-ray binaries by groups using the Fox telescopes, located in Hawaii and Australia.